Welcome, 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 beautiful people, to another installment of the Nate Jackson Radio Show. This is your host, Mr. Nate Jackson. You can follow me on Vine, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or our beat show. I also got some videos over on YouTube that you should sit down and watch and enjoy yourself. Today is a good show. They're all good shows. Some of them are good because they're ratchet. Other ones are good because there's information. And this is one of the informative style shows. It's not going to be ratchet today. We've had shows where we had girls on the show as guests discussing their love lives, lack of men in them, wanting for them, desire for them. But I felt like they were relatively lost. So we talked about it in full. And people acted like I ain't know what I was talking about. Even though you guys know in your little hearts that I do. Today, I have an expert sitting in with me, a guest, a very special guest, three-time national author and relationship coach guru, Debrina Jackson-Gandy.
Hey, hey, Nate Jackson.
So here's the thing. I could be discreet about our relationship, but I feel like you are what you are.
Let's just make it public.
This is my older sister.
Hey.
Okay.
The oldest. Can we be clear?
Yeah, okay.
The oldest of the older sisters you have.
Yeah, so I have two older siblings, and she is the oldest one.
Yes.
Debrina Jackson-Gandy, and she's an author. You've written a book called The Love Lies.
That's what they tell me.
Okay, so before we get into the meat of what we're really going to be jumping into today, I just want to talk about, that a little bit, actually. So, today's topic is how to be a great date. And the reason why it's how to be a great date is because I was talking to a couple young ladies, and they, you know, they say they want to be married by a certain time. They have an expectation for when they expect to be married, but they're not doing anything to make that matriculate. Just
problem.
Little miss, I'm waiting for the right man to come along. But I'm not waiting, girl. I am doing my thing, focused on me, independent. I'm working, grinding, hustling.
Mm.
When you gonna find him? How you gonna find him? I explained it like a funnel. I say, if you're looking for gold to drop out that's worthy of your time and effort and maybe a relationship, you gotta put some stuff in the top and let it filter on out. And that process is what I was referring to as dating. They were all hung up on that. Because I was like, what you need to do is date a lot of people. You guys aren't. How many dates you been on this year? They're like,
exactly.
One, I think. I was like, if you ain't been on 40. They're like, oh my gosh. I would be a tramp going on 40. I said, whoa.
Time out. You're associating date with sex. Legs open. That's why they had a problem with it.
Well, this is the thing. And I'll say it now for it to be addressed later. But it's not necessarily that they equate it with sex. Their point was, it's equated with the visual of, damn, she's out with a lot of different dudes. And people jump to conclusions. The general public, the social media, the web is like, okay, she got another dude in a picture with her. She out there, you know, and they're assuming. So let them assume, I said. I'm trying to find you somebody.
Stop taking so many damn pictures.
Hilarious.
It's a really simple solution.
Well, there you have it. But people talk, you know. A dude takes a girl out on a date and he's like, yeah, I took her out on a date and gets around, and this is a smaller area to where that can get around quick, and now she's just out on dates with everybody. You know, so you got to also have a certain amount of open and honesty with each guy you're on the date with. Like, listen, this is a date. I just wanted to feel you out, see what's what. I am dating other people. And that's what they don't do. So anyway, I will let you get into it.
You don't have to volunteer that, by the way.
Right. You don't have
to. If you're asked, be honest. But to volunteer it, why?
Why get into it?
Huh?
You said, why get into it?
Why volunteer that I'm seeing other people? Unless you all have a defined relationship, then each of you can be experiencing from other people and keep your legs closed.
Yeah, I feel like they don't owe a man anything.
That's right.
To tell him. But here's the thing. If he comes across that information outside of her, then it makes her look like she was slightly deceitful for not saying anything.
You don't have to divulge that. Do we just sit around divulging our credit score?
Put it differently. Or if I sit with a girl and she doesn't tell me she's dating other men, and I go to the barbershop and two dudes in the barbershop have been on dates with her this week, I feel some kind of way. Like, oh, really?
You're starting to act like you own her. You ain't got no claim to her. And what is it? What is it?
It's about the effort, energy, and money that was put into the
situation. So are you volunteering that this is the third date you may have taken someone on this week? No, you're not sitting there volunteering that. Don't have a double standard. Women don't have to volunteer anything. Keep your legs closed. Be courted by several dudes. Keep it light. Keep it simple. If you're asked the question, whether the guy's being asked or the girls being asked, that's a different scenario than volunteering it. That's not anything. That's not dishonesty. We don't have to disclose everything any more than I'd share that I had a low credit score. You even asked me, oh, by the way, my credit score is 531. What? What's that got to do with it? 531's
low?
It's low.
I got to stop the show and get my credit
score. Get it together.
I'm just saying, I've had situations where I've been in a public environment and I found out information on the girl I was interested in without looking for it. And it's just the way the universe works.
Yeah.
And somebody's talking, it's like, dang, like that?
But let's roll it back. So when you are out with someone, let's say the first time, are you volunteering that, oh, by the way, there's other girls that I am spending some time with or seeing? I doubt it. Give me a lineup of 50 dudes. I promise you they are not volunteering that. I promise you.
This is the thing. I don't think that right now in this day and age, guys are out taking a bunch of girls out. I don't think they are. I think they have a takeout period, and once they get past that period, they're into hey, come over. And they may have a bunch of different women that stop by.
That's a problem too. That's a problem too. But go ahead.
I'm just saying what the general feeling is. Like you're dating for a minute and then she's over at the house and then it's like, just come by the house. And that's what they have. A Tuesday that comes by. They don't have to have sex. They could just Netflix and not even chill. I'm just saying, but it's more so that. But when you have a guy who's spending his money, whether it's hard-earned or not, he's spending his money on a date. You want to feel like it wasn't just thrown into a collection of other dudes' money.
Okay, well, I'm about guys spending less money. But that's a conversation about modern courtship, which is different than dating.
So tell me about that, because from what I understand, you state that dating is out.
Out.
As we've modern been... courtship is in. So what's...
Yeah.
For definition's sake,
yeah.
What is dating?
Yeah. So first of all, let me back up and let's take a look at how much we suck at relationships in the United States, in the Western world. We have the worst track record of any other country on the face of planet Earth in terms of marriage, which is some indicator of our ability to sustain long-term, hopefully deeply satisfying relationships. We have a 51% divorce rate. The next closest nation is 32%.
Who's that?
Canada. All the Western cultures, Europe, Canada, and the higher... The lower divorce rates are in countries with brown and black people, interestingly enough. But at any rate, that's another conversation. So our country sucks the most at marriage. And then when you look at satisfaction rates for those who were in love relationships, it's pitifully, pitifully low. So we already know that how we're thinking.
So even how we're staying together, having a bad time.
Most folks would not raise their hand if they were asked, are you deeply satisfied? They would not. And
before you move on, I wanted to say a point. I know that's like a prerequisite of information before you get to the next thing. But
yes.
Let me go right there where you put in your comma.
Okay.
And say this. So I was just in London.
Okay. Okay.
And it was myself and Ron G.
Okay. Okay.
Very funny comedian from Last Comic Standing. And Ron has some jokes about who you should marry. And he says, you know, who's happily with their person, who's with their best friend, whose lover, wife, whatever is their best friend. I want to be with my best friend. And he goes through a progression of material about how he wants the girl who's his wife to be also have been his best friend. So he says this in London. One night it's a bunch of black people and another night it's a bunch of Indian people. The joke gets an entirely different response based on the nationality, the culture
Absolutely.
That he's speaking to. So in front of the black crowd, he said, you know, the London Western influenced crowd.
But they're also Caribbean, heavily Caribbean West Indies in London. Go ahead.
Right. But this room was a Western room of the two, for sure. And they understood what he was trying to say, whether they would do it or not do it. It was like, of course. Yeah, we want to be best friends with our person, you know, our mate. He said it at the Indians, red dot Indian, not feather Indian. He said it at the Indian room. And they were like, blank stare, just completely like, marry your friend. That's not what marriage is for. We don't marry
friends.
No, they're like, yeah, we don't marry for happiness. Yeah. Their whole thing was, we marry for positioning.
my family has this, your family has that. This is a bond of two families.
That's right.
After a certain amount of generations, our family should be way stronger.
This is a political decision and a business decision.
So they literally, like a heckler, yelled out, "Hell no!" He was like, "Wait, what? You don't want to be friends with who you married? I could care less if I like her.
Yep.
I got a lover." He's like, you know what I mean? And that's not our culture. Our culture is I want to like the person. I want to be friends. I want to know. I want to be hand in hand. And but to the Indians, man, they were just like, man, what are you talking about, dude?
That's right. That's why my book is about the Western mind. We can't presume that how we do it here is how everybody does it. That's arrogant American attitude. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking of America having the worst divorce rate. So, and I'm looking at what is leading up to that. Well, before people get married, they usually do this thing called dating. Mm. And right now, that dating scenario looks a very predictable, consistent way, cookie cutter, person to person. Mm. How it usually looks is the first date outing is usually dinner. Mm-hmm. It's usually at night, usually dinner, and the dude tends to be the one paying, and he's out laying at least a Benjamin.
At least a Benjamin,
not to mention appetizers and drinks and dessert and entree, right?
Yeah, because your entrees are going to be like $32-$35.
If it's a decent restaurant.
Appetizers $15-$17.
You got it.
You guys had a long day before. Anyway, you want? Would you guys like something to drink? Now you got a $12 cocktail in front of you.
You got it.
Yeah.
And the premise of dating as we do it for females is for the man to show me a good time. So the truth of the matter about dating is it's not about getting to know him, though we profess that it is. What's really happening...
It's an audition for men.
It's an audition. It's a judgment. It's an assessment. It's a scorecarding. And yet we say we're trying to get to know him as a person. No, you're treating him like a commodity. And so that's dating as we do it. Huge outlays of money, quite a bit of time out of the gate, nighttime out of the gate, judge and assess out of the gate. Sizing him up to see if he could be the one, Mr. Right, the soulmate, a.k.a. husband material. And then by date three, the legs are opening and sex is occurring, regardless of your age, regardless of whether you were Christian or not Christian. That is happening consistently, and there have been many, 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 many studies done on it.
We can go back to my first issue.
Yeah, yes.
If it is an audition process.
Unfortunately.
If it is.
It is.
Before we talk about the status, fixing the status quo, let's address it. If it is confirmed that it's an audition process, which we know it is, we're getting grilled on these dates.
That's right. You're being interrogated. You're being interrogated. Yeah.
And a woman can deem through her questioning whether or not you really are a legitimate option for a partner, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. They decide right like on that date during those questions while you're answering. They're like, okay.
Based on the question.
Before the entree comes.
Right.
Before the bill comes.
Oh, yeah.
So my whole concept with it is if you know that this young man isn't going to be anything major in your life, why not at that point just be like, hey, by the way, you know, we can go Dutch. Help him save his little money.
No, here's what you do. Because the chances of that happening when you're about to have a meal, a nice meal, that someone's going to pay for you. You don't say, stop and let me spend my money instead. That doesn't happen. Back it up and engage in modern courtship and stop this dating stuff. Start in the daytime. Yes, the daytime when there's real light out so you can really see a person. Choose someplace it's an hour and you're good. Go get a Jamba Juice. Sit down and have a little coffee or tea. Act like you like tea. Get a milkshake. Spend $8, not $108. So now there's no tripping. If it ain't a click, if it ain't a fit, you had 60 minutes and a milkshake. You're out $8 and not 1/4 of your car note. And nobody feels a tripping or any guilt. You're not resentful because that's money you can't get back. She may not even been a great date. All that madness ceases.
It feels refreshing. I had a tea date. And it was refreshing because I was like...
Was it in the day? Light still?
No. I don't go with that. I go with nighttime. But I'm working on me too. Okay. The thing. Like if I went on this date, we talked for hours.
Yes.
And it was a great conversation. It was juicy. It was fulfilling. It was like, yo, this is going in a good direction and that's what's up. Usually, sliding my card to the waitress after that is like, golly.
That's right.
$60 worth of of the comment, like, usually,
yeah,
the going rate for that emotion, that feeling of speaking, talking, being in a public place like that, costs me between $65 and $100.
Easily.
With no matter who it's with.
That's right. And she may be no fun.
Oh, they're usually not. It's just like, you know, they're leaning on me to be fun because I'm a comic by trade. So they're like, oh my God, this is going to be so great. So now I'm burning up all my little funny and all my little money.
And you don't get it back.
But to give her my card and get back, and I'm signing off on, you know, I gave a $5 tip and it was still under 15 bucks. Was like, now that is what's up.
So
that's what's up.
If men are ready to be done with that scenario, because y'all are getting the short end of the stick. Okay. If you're ready to be done with that scenario, the win-win is to make the shift out of dating. I just described the typical dating scenario, make the shift to modern courtship. This is what I work with women on, because we're the one that tend to set the tone. You all are trying to do what pleases us, and you find what has us find favor with you, has us get points. You know, we're scorecarding you and our insanity and our female love lies crazy programming. So I'm saying stop the madness. And on top of it, that way of engaging is only leading to the worst failure rates of any country on the face of the planet. So insanity is continuing to do what gives us epic failure. Or we stop and say, reevaluate, new paradigm, stop rolling the way we've been rolling. So modern courtship I don't just mean courtship. I mean, modern courtship has a completely different set of rules, different intention, different pace, and everything. Every one of the students in my Love Academy classes, which I've taught across the nation, including my mentality, which is men only. When people hear the principles of modern courtship, mm-hmm. they start to clap. The men start to clap because they're saving hundreds a month. There's no downside. So you start in the day. Stop treating day like this, like we're vampires and we can't start in the daytime. 1 hour is fine for an initial engagement with someone. In 60 minutes, you absolutely can tell if you desire to be back in this person's space and energy. You don't need $108 out your pocket and 3.5 hours. I promise you that you don't.
You feel empty after that kind of time is spent.
And pissed. I'd be pissed if I was a guy. And I'm broke because that was just one date and I might have two for the month. That's $216 I could invest in the stock market.
Yeah.
Save towards a house.
Get to, I mean, not to make it about that, but for that kind of money, you're like, man, I ain't even getting no pleasure out of this. And then it ends up turning the game into this, like, prostitution ring.
Right.
Where nobody is willing to admit that that's really what they're there for.
Exactly.
And it's like, why would you sit there? And that's why men get mad at the women who are out there. I had a girl on the show who, I promise you, is a comedian. And she talks about this with pride to the point where after she's done, she sells a shirt to the women that says, I'm just here for the food.
Wow.
And I'm like... We cracked up about it, laughed. There was plenty of jokes on the show, but at the end of the day,
I'm shaking my head.
You lay down at night and look at the ceiling like, damn, there's a discourse where somebody can say, I'm just here for your money, dude.
Yeah, that's called using men. And women have protested against men supposedly using us, and we need to stop being hypocrites. We need to elevate this whole interaction game. Dating isn't working. Women don't feel good after. Men don't feel good, and they're out of money after. And so... We need a whole new way we're doing it. So that's what I invite folks to do. Folks that do it, the men say, I love it. Women say, I love it. It is a win-win. But we got to change up the focus.
We need a way to give them like an abbreviated breakdown of what this is.
Great. Wonderful.
Here's what I'd rather go. Here, for the people who are listening, if you're interested in calling in, if you have any questions about this, the number is 818-575-6993. Again, it's 818-575-6993. And that's if you guys call in. Here's the thing. I have a confession to make on the production side. I left the power cord for my MacBook Pro in California. Brought the computer, brought all the other stuff, and left the power cord to it. So I'm doing this show. It took me like extra. You guys know I wanted to go live at 4. It took me extra almost 2 hours to set everything up on my niece's HP computer, where I had to learn a whole new way to, first of all, just click, because Apple and Microsoft are set up differently. So we're doing the show here. I have Skype on here the way I normally do it. Call in if you want to. And we can get away with, we can do some questioning. If you guys are listening, also, I don't have all my sound effects, so I had to make sure I'm doing the announcements myself, old school style. So first and foremost, if you would like to listen to this show on a regular basis, you can hear it when it broadcasts live on the Spreaker app. which is embedded at the top of the homepage on natejacksoncomedy.com. So just go to natejacksoncomedy.com, right on the homepage. It's right there. Just click play. The most recent episode will immediately start. If it's a live broadcast and you're on my page at that time, a red light will be there that says live. And you will actually be listening to us as is, wherever we are in the country, doing the show. So when you call in, it's real. When you click chat and type, it's real. I can really see that. Secondly, if you don't catch the show live, all you have to do is go over to iTunes, and wherever you get all your podcasts on a regular basis, the show is there afterwards. And you can listen to it for the life of it. Episodes 1 through this one is 37 are all there on iTunes. So, keep listening. We're going to define and take this in another direction. We're going to define in modern courtship a little bit better.
We haven't yet, by the way.
Okay, well, when we get back, we're going to be real clear about that.
Good.
But right now, what I want to make sure that we do touch on also when we get back, okay, just as a teaser,
okay,
is points. I don't know if there's a point concept involved in your book or the energy system and all that, but we've talked about, the girl basically brought it up, and she was like, it's pussy points. Like, these are points a man does and earns to get the pussy. And I'm like, wow. So it's basically prostitution with a point system other than money. Because that would be too low. And so I have a whole nother situation where I'm like, man, the energy. Like, if I go and put all this energy into a situation, energy to get dressed, spend the money on the clothes, get dressed, get all the car stuff, the gas, whatever, come pick you up, take you out, feed you, wine you, dine you,
yep,
entertain you, pass all of your audition, take you home, get to the house, get the I made it home safe text, and then look at my balance and all the time I spent that I could have been using much more wiser and all that stuff, that it's like I just put out so much energy for, like, I deserved a hand job on the way home that would at least be like, huh, good night. I don't feel played.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's the dating paradigm you just described. It right, doesn't work but, for us.
Right. So we're going to define modern courtship.
Yes.
And I have a concept of the pussy point / energy.
Units is what I talk about.
So you do have a unit of energy.
Energy units. Money's a form of it. Time's a form of it. Touch is a form of it. I call it the goodness in my book, not pussy. So goodness, energy units.
Some of it's the badness. We need to be honest. Okay? You can treat a woman perfectly fine, spend the money the way you want to spend it, save your money, and do it in small bursts. You can completely modern courtship a chick. Be patient and wait and then get some trash. Anyway, it's not always the goodness. So we're going to go to a song. This song is...
Notice I didn't respond on that. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me find out my sister got the goodness. Ew. Ew. You don't know how to react to that. So this is going to be Bryson Tiller Exchange. Again, thank you for listening to the Nate Jackson Radio Show. I don't have all my normal sounds and tones and dings and bells, but I'm glad you guys are listening. I appreciate you. Hey, I do have lightning. So let's do
that's
that.
That's thunder. That's thunder, boo. That's thunder.
Well, if you hear thunder... look for life.
This what happened when I think about you. I get in my feelings, yeah. I start reminiscing, yeah. Next time around, fuck, I want it to be different, yeah. Waiting on a sign, guess it's time for a different prayer. Lord, please save her for me. Do this one favor for me. I had to change my player ways. Got way too complicated for me. I hope she's waiting for me. Everywhere she go, they playing my songs. That's why I say the things that I say. That way I know you can't ignore me. But so, so, yeah. So give me all of you in exchange for me. Just give me all of you in exchange for me. For me. Break it down. Yes, sir. Check. We used to lay up and then stay up, had sex and then blow dang. I shouldn't have played no games with you, just leveled up my brain. Last time I saw you, we ain't speak, that was strange. Guess there's nothing I could do, man, it's true. X has changed, yeah. Hey, guess you changed for the better.
Better.
I know you know how to make me jealous. I was never loyal, let you tell it, yo. But I'm ready to fix it if you ready, baby. So, yeah. So give me all of you in exchange for me. Just give me all of you in exchange for me. For me.
For real, Sean. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Is you at 2 keys or 10 roof? Turn up, we on Tiller, we just getting loose. Baby, I'm low-key feeling you. Don't be cynical and fuck you over. Wanna fuck you over. And again, the truth is I ain't really here to start problems. Girl, I swear to God, them hoes can't never say they got him. Know how bad you wanna tell him, don't try him. I don't wanna tell him, let's surprise him. I don't wanna get into it, why you stressing him? I've been driving back and forth from Louisville to Lexington. Mileage on the whip, got your ass in my grip. College, make you wanna strip for them dollars. Nah, girl, I got a job for you. Swear to God, I could do a lot for you. Saw you strolling through the campus, I had to stop for you. I was scrolling through the gram, girl, I had to follow you. Say what's up with you. You got my soul.
Welcome back, beautiful people. You're listening to The Nate Jackson Show. I am your host, at Mr. Nate Jackson. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Periscope. And you got to follow me on all that or I'll beat you. I also got some videos over on YouTube. Again, I'm sitting with my very special guest, 3-time national author and relationship coach guru, author of The Love Lies. Make sure you check out the website, by the way, digibythelovelies.com, Debrina Jackson Gandy. And today we are talking about essentially giving you some suggestions, some alterations you can make to your love life and how you are interacting with the opposite or the same sex, depending on what you like. I'm one of the opposite guys. I'm hetero. But just saying, giving you a little advice. For those who want to meet somebody special, for those who are interested in finding a significant other, we've been going about it all wrong.
Yeah, yes.
And so I have an expert with me. And what we were discussing before the break, in case you just tuned in, since this is live, is we're talking about the difference between dating and modern courtship. Dating is out. Modern courtship is in. So let's talk about it. What is modern courtship? What are you saying? What's the paradigm that needs to shift?
Well, let me do a compare contrast so we can start to really get the difference and the shift. And women, females, I have a definition of what a woman is in my book. Females really struggle with making the shift because we have been programmed, as have guys, into the traditional dating scenario where you start at night. That's part of the dating paradigm. That's out. In modern courtship, you start when there's light out. Mm-hmm. You start in the day. In the dating paradigm, you start with way too many time energy units. 3-hour dinner, 3.5-hour dinner. Too many time energy units out of the gate. Modern courtship, according to Debrina's principles, 60 minutes initially. That is enough time to ascertain whether or not you want to be in that person's presence again. You don't need a $108 dinner and 3.5 hours. So now we're talking start in the day so you have some place to progress to. Progress tonight. Stop starting at night. Start in the day, 1 hour. Start with 60 minutes so you have some time to progress and gradually expand into. But don't start 3.5 hours. That first interaction.
I think that right there alleviates a lot of the sexual pressure and tension
Absolutely.
That people be under. You know, and then at night, you know, all that walking to the car with it nighttime. It's like first kiss and all that stuff. All those kind of physical things start like super fast.
That's right.
But after tea and just like 2 in the afternoon, and you I wouldn't feel different. Like a kiss was appropriate in a public parking lot.
Well, also in the daylight, you act differently. Women dress differently. We wear makeup differently. We wear different heel height. It's totally different. We wear totally different shoes if it's at night versus day. We wear a dress. If we're wearing a dress, the hem length, you'd be amazed. It is a different reality, day versus night. Start in the day, 60 minutes. Keep it light. Jamba juice, tea, bagel, whatever. But dude, stop putting out these 3-digit initial dates.
Okay, so how do you utilize this hour? Because, you know, you could watch an episode of something on Netflix and that's an hour and it feels like it just blew right by.
Here's another characteristic of modern courtship. Stay outside. stay out, I repeat, stay out of each other's homes. So now that scenario didn't even fit in modern courtship. And dating, that's classic. Oh, let's just stay in and watch Netflix. Gong. Modern courtship, stay out of your home, especially
ain't
women.
No Netflix and chill.
Nope. Women, your home is sacred. Stop inviting folk up in there, especially for dates. You got options, a million and one options outside of the walls of your sacred space called your home. Exercise them. So modern courtship, stay out of your living space.
Right, but here's the thing. We're sitting on a date. We got 1 hour to figure out who the hell we're sitting across from.
You don't have to figure it all out. Take your time, slow down, and stop having to cram everything into 1 hour. Relax. Relax. Now, what women usually do, females, excuse moi, we've been taught to judge, assess, sort, reject. You said it was a interview. No, what did you call it? Audition.
Yep. That'd be hardcore.
That's right. And what tends to happen in the dating paradigm?
Like, I heard you can sing. I was like, bitch, I am not finished up here. Sing to you.
Will you sing me, Luther? So, since we're up here trying to determine if you are the one, meaning we're being highly judgmental, we're scorecarding you in our head. We're not even present to you. We're up in our head seeing if the box gets checked or not. That's the dating paradigm, okay? And men feel that energy. Y'all hate it. You know, we're being inauthentic. You're trying to answer to get points and to find favor. It's not, you
and,
might not even
a lot of dudes just have figured out how to answer all those
they
questions.
They figured out how to answer the questions so as to get points. So nobody's being authentic. We are treating you like a commodity and you up answering to get points. It's ridiculous and it ain't working. Now, for women who, females who are up for modern courtship, it's not about judge and assess the guy. It's about, okay, if you really are trying to get to know him and you're not just saying that because it sounds enlightened, then the kind of questions you ask are totally different in the modern courtship paradigm. So, for example, in the dating paradigm, we ask a lot of biographical questions. Oh, so where'd you grow up? How many kids you got? You have any kids?
You got your parents?
That's right. Biography stuff that you could put on a piece of paper and just slide it across the table, wait 20 minutes while she reads your summary. Women are stuck asking biography questions. When I in Love Academy, my life course, I say to women, let me give you examples of some of the classic biography and or resume questions that we ask guys. There's 10 predictable, shallow questions that we think we're being so original. We're recycling the same questions.
Ask me two. I'll give you the answer to get the point.
Yeah. So where do you work? You better
I'm self-employed. And I found a way to maximize my time so that I was able to walk away from the desk in a 9 to 5.
Oh, now see what's interesting. If I'm judging you on that, like it's a fill in the blank. Oh, what do you do? Self-employed. And I leave it at that biography, on to the next question. I'm going to have a judgment. Oh, that means he's never going to have enough time for me then because, girl, he has to work his own grind. See, now I haven't said, what do you do? What had you decide to pursue your own thing? Those are the kind of questions you ask when you truly are interested in the person and you're fascinated by them and you're being curious. It isn't just about they have to answer in a certain way to get score points, which is what happens in dating. But now you're curious, truly curious. So there's no wrong answer. And you take it deeper. Oh, I'm self-employed. Well, what do you do? How did you decide to get in that line of work? Really? How did that passion even? Now that's what modern courtship is about. Not just biography questions, fill in a blank. Okay? Most women do not know how to ask truly open-ended questions because we're so programmed to ask biography questions. So a woman who is fascinated, truly fascinated, she's about more modern courtship. She's asking different questions than the one who is in the dating model. So that's just an example. And most women, when I say give me examples of what you're asking, they're all the biography canned resume questions.
Ask me another one.
Open-ended?
No, one of the crappy ones that girls always do.
Oh, where'd you go to school?
Well, I went to 3 colleges. One was in Florida Memorial in Miami. And then I left there because my mentor got shot and killed and I wanted to come back home. So I went to Eastern Washington University after a brief stint at Washington State.
But do you have a degree? Do you have a degree?
Absolutely.
Okay, there's the biography question. We're trying to, you know.
I got out of school, but I usually say all 3 universities because I want you to know that I'm well-traveled.
But I'm saying, but in the dating paradigm, you were subject to the judgment of the woman. And in her head, that box is either marked off because he answered right or it's blank. Now, if I was in the modern courtship mindset, then I'm truly trying to get to know you. So instead of me saying, but did you get a degree? I'd say, oh my God, your mentor got shot and killed. Oh my gosh, what happened? Right? And now you talk about the scenario and I might even ask some deeper questions. And well, what did you learn from him before unfortunately, he had that untimely death.
Right.
Now I'm trying to get to, now I'm getting to know you, and I'm going to learn a lot more from that answer than whatever judgment I may have if I associate going to three different colleges as something negative. You're subject to my internal judgment,
exactly.
Though you may be saying it thinking it's positive to show you're well traveled. Most women are very shallow. Our expectations have been shaped by media. The real people we see that are operating out of faulty, flawed, messed up ways of interacting and engaging. So it's a mess. And we can keep doing what ain't working for men and what ain't working for women, or we can step out of the insanity. And that's what my book is about. That's why it's called The Love Lies. I expose to the women first and foremost, because we set the tone and pace. I repeat, ladies, we set the tone and pace and men match it. I repeat, we set the tone and pace and men match it. If I hear another woman talk about how fast it's going, he's moving too fast, that lets me know she doesn't know how to set the tone and pace. She's in the old dating model, modern courtship. A female recognizes she sets the tone and pace. She knows starting the day. She knows 60 minutes. And you gradually give yourself space to expand time and energy. We starting off the deep end and jumping in the pool instead of starting on the shallow end and wade our way in to the deeper ring. That's right. And it works. That's the best thing. Modern courtship works. It's a win-win for everybody.
Okay, so.
And you got to manage the sexual energy. Got to tell you about that. That's a whole nother piece. Most of us suck.
I'll be cool with the sexual energy. Like, I can manage my own. Until I have put out so much energy that I'm like, okay, something's got to give.
In the dating paradigm.
You gonna start paying for stuff? I know, I'm just telling you.
Okay, got it. You're talking
about the... You finna start paying for stuff, or you gonna rub my back while I eat or something. Because this is just ridiculous.
Men start looking for another way to balance the energy.
And then the women offset it by being like, I'm here with you. I'm sacrificing time. I'm putting some of the time out of my day. I'm worth this meal, this time, this energy you're putting forth. So that's what you get. You spend that money to sit with me. I'm royalty. That's the gist. Well, sit your royal ass at home then.
Well, that's what more women are doing.
So this is the thing, like, to bring it a little bit more for a full circle.
Yep. Do I get to talk about being a great date? Is that what we're getting into now?
Or you could just, you know, take the segue and take the last two words out of it. Bringing it full circle, which is this episode, how to be a great date.
Dun, da, da, da.
I've had dates. I don't know if I can recognize the characteristics of the dates, but I've had dates that were just awesome.
Yeah.
And I've had dates that were terrible. And it seems to me like the ones that are terrible, the women have less of an idea that it's terrible than the woman who had a great date.
Who was a great date.
That's just like, I'm not gonna see you again. It is what it is. Versus the other person, like, did you enjoy yourself? Are we gonna hang out again? Are we gonna see you again? You get the random text messages because they don't know how to icebreak a conversation. It's just a picture of something that you guys talked about on the date. Like, oh, I thought about this and it cracked me up. I don't want to talk to you no more. Get your thinking about what I said on the date ass out my inbox. So what is a woman a great date?
Yes. Well, first of all, you got to realize in the dating paradigm, our thought is, it's about you showing me a good time. It's about you impressing me, right?
Right.
Doesn't work. Men hate that. Doesn't work. So in the modern courtship paradigm, there's a shift in the axis where now, ladies, as I teach and train, it's about you being a great date. Now, I will say to women, how many here are a great date? And all the women raise their hand. I said, the only way you know that is after talking to the men you've been out with. They are the only ones that get to determine whether you're a great date. And I said, how do you know if you're a great date? A guy will let you know. And secondly, none of this, I'll call you. How many times have I read women's magazines, the Dear Abby advice column kind of thing, and the girl says, I went out with this guy. We had a really good time. He said he would call me, but I haven't heard from him. AKA, you weren't a great date. Also, when you're a great date, a dude is not looking to relinquish you from his eyesight before he sets up his next hookup time. He ain't going to try to call you the next day because he's figuring there's other men that also recognize your greatness. So he's saying, so it might be Tuesday night. He's going to be saying, what you doing Thursday? How's your weekend looking? He's not going to do this call you thing. Anything can happen. So whenever I hear women say, he said he would call me, I thought, you were a good date, honey. But you weren't a great date. And then I stop a minute, wait, and then finally the hands go up. Little Debrina, what's being a great date. Thank you for asking. You have no idea. Mm. So first of all, it's just some basic stuff. A great date asks not just the biography and resume questions, right? Okay. She truly is trying to get to know the guy. She's not judging every darn answer. She's truly trying to get a sense of his character, his life experience, what's shaped who he is. Okay? So there's no wrong answer. You ask questions that take you deeper, mm-hmm. give you more insight.
Get to the meat. Yeah, the meat. It's a metaphor. Not for a penis.
Secondly,
get to the meat. Get to the gristle, the fat, all the stuff that's really just doesn't matter. And get to the meat, something that really has some sustenance, some protein, something that can do you good.
That's right.
Ask some good questions. If I go on another date and a girl asks me how to start comedy, I'm going to explode. Another thing that's frustrated me, which
I know you're
dropping dimes.
Go ahead.
I had to make this about me for just a second.
Okay.
Because I do not know how to assess what this happens. This happens. I don't have an assessment for it.
Okay.
Essentially, women say there is a me that they want to get to know that isn't the comedian.
Okay.
They're like, everyone knows Nate Jackson. I want to get to know Nathaniel. And I'm sitting there like, bitch, I am comedy. What do you mean? Like, I've devoted my life to my craft. I am what I am. That's like saying you want to meet the Edgar Allan Poe that's not a painter.
Poet.
Paints with words.
Oh, stop. That was good.
You like that?
That was good. Quick.
But that's what I'm saying. Mm. So if a guy has devoted his entire life to football, a craft, some sort of music and all that, and you're like, I want to meet the you that isn't wearing a football helmet.
Right.
What football player isn't thinking about football all the time? If they're a professional athlete,
this
is their life.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So it just drives me wild. And like, I want to meet the you that's you. Like, peel back some of that and get to who you. Like, I am what I am, man.
But all
I'm on earth for this.
But we don't even have to pre-qualify with that kind of statement. If we were truly asking non-biography, non-resume questions, all they got to do is ask you the questions and engage you. That's it. But not this little fill-in-the-blank stuff. Mm. So when women say that, you can tell they're used to the dating paradigm. So then, let me go back to women, because we set the tone and pace. So I already talked about not just asking biography and resume questions, right? Truly being fascinated, right? You get all these books out here, 30,000 books on dating, love relationships, but communication and marriage, and they all talk about the woman being fascinating. Well, I shift the axis. No, ladies, learn how to be fascinated. Mm. When you're fascinated, there's a certain body posture. There's a certain way your eyes are. You lean in versus backwards.
There sure is a chemical in me that kicks in when somebody is paying attention.
Exactly. And fascinated.
Like, damn, she likes it. Like,
the fascinated.
It's genuine.
But fascinated is even different than the energy when someone likes you. That's another layer of energy. I'm talking about just the posture of, like, if you go to a playground, because everyone knows how to be fascinated. It got conditioned out of us. It got conditioned out of us. We go to a playground where kids are 3 and 4. They're not yet in social, structured K-12 mind programming school. You will see fascinated human beings. They see another kid that looks different. They don't judge and say, you look funny. They go, why is your nose on the top of your head?
Right.
Right? They just observe everything objectively. They don't judge it and make it be a bad or a negative or less than. So we have that capacity, but it gets programmed out of us. So when you're fascinated, there's no judgment. When you're fascinated, your eyes are bigger. You lean forward. Your energy is moving towards the other person. You might even have your chin propped on your elbow because what they are saying is like gold falling off their lips. A person, when they are being listened to that way, cannot help but unfold. It's not. I've had people tell me so many things like, man, I can't believe I told you all this because I was fascinated.
Right.
Because I was leaning in like they were the only person on planet Earth in that moment. Most women, we're impress me is our subconscious confidence. Impress me. Show me a good time.
Right.
Right. Their radiance is off. They dull. Their light is not on. That's a whole nother conversation because so many women are not sacred, self-caring women. When you are, you got that inner light, that inner glow that men are not able to generate. And so that is a natural draw when a man notices the light of a woman. And so many of us, our light is off. So when your light is off.
I just want, like, it's attractive to see a radiant woman.
Yeah,
you can
and
see
rare.
One walk in.
Yep.
And usually you see a radiant woman walk in. This is how I see it. Like, if I'm out kicking it, two women will come in that are just radiant.
They see that in each other. They come into a space. They're there to have fun. You'll see two. If it's a bigger group than that, it'll be one radiant one, and then the rest are just in her glow.
Yep.
And it's usually tallest to shortest, and then one in the back is just like, y'all slow down. The little fat one. She ain't got no glow.
Well, the one in front may not always be the most radiant, but she will be the one who they have all silently agreed looks the best.
Mm-hmm.
So radiance and looking good, there's no...
I've also found that usually that second one in that group is the most level-headed, coolest. She'll get by as far as being attractive.
Uh-huh. But you might overlook her because she might not have...
in front of the sun. The other girl got that dunk. Yeah, that's how it is when you're sitting in a place, you know what I mean? If I'm a comic, and 75% of the audience for comedy, no matter where you are, is women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they are. The ladies' nights out, these are these groups.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's as easy to spot as you can see a jealous dude. You can see a girl who's radiant.
That's right. But here's the thing that happens when women go out in groups, which we tend to do, is we do not know how to break ourselves away from the pack. And a dude will usually not, unless he's got serious gift to gab, or he can use something like comedy, right?
Or 12 drinks.
Or 12 drinks. Drunk, or he just has a gift to gab to the extreme. He is not coming over to the group. And most women don't know how to disentangle themselves from the group herd thing so that the guy has an opportunity to sidle up to her, whatever it is. And women go, well, Debrina,
be approachable.
Get up and go.
Standing in a fence full of bitter bitches. We can't even get to you.
Yeah, get your butt up. And go to the restroom the long way and slow down and have some darn eye contact. It doesn't take rocket science. Go over and get a drink versus have the waitress order the drinks and bring them to the table.
The
hello.
Worst is when they have the friend that's like, she, no, no, it's ladies' night out.
The gatekeeper.
No.
What's she doing?
The driver.
Oh, Lord.
But that's how it is. I not to make every clicker chick stereotypical, but you guys know you're sitting there with that homegirl that's hating. Some of them don't verbalize it because, like, she's going to do what she's going to do. I'm going to let her live. But the faces, the eye cutting, you don't even feel welcome stepping up to a new group of people. I've walked up to a set of group of 3-4 women, and I just start shaking everybody's hand. Hey, ladies. Hey, ladies. Hey, ladies. Hey, hey, how's everybody doing? Just standing there while they're looking at me, crying like, what are you doing? What you want to wear? Then I just begin to speak. The ones that I'm not speaking to deem that I've chosen, and now, you know, I'm just talking. I'm just being conversational.
Yeah.
That's it. And they're like, and then later on, the relationships, not relationship, but like the interactions will develop, whether it's like if we went out to eat after the club or something, and then you hear a girl, or I finally can figure out, like, oh, she's the one that actually has the most going on.
Mm-hmm.
She's the coolest one. And then if I go to sit differently or position myself to be closer to her, it's like, but she was already at my girl aisle. I can't talk to you now. Bitch, in the club, I didn't know who I was talking to. I was shaking hands.
Right. Well, often I pay close attention to that because I have seen some bold souls walk over to groups of women. I've been in those groups many times. And what they do is the woman they talk to last is the one they really want to talk to.
The one they speak to the least, too. How you doing?
That's right.
Down here, how you doing?
That's right. Exactly. That's right. And he'll be friendly with everybody at the table. And the one he really wants to talk, he'll finally come to her last so he can relax, get some little rapport with the other ones. Now, the girls always think the first one he talks to. No, you don't know how it works.
But they be having it set up. Got the girl, the pretty girl will be sitting up behind all of them. Like, you got to get through these bitches to get to me. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
You know, so... I try to go in and just flirt with everybody. Just have everybody feeling some type of laughter or happiness or something. You know, a little upbeat something. Equally. So that if they have that conversation in the car, girl, what about Nate? Girl, he was all on me. 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 Well, damn, we sound dumb. Either that or they're like, well, damn, he just be all on me. I ain't gonna talk to him anyway. Pass. But there's no way to get a win, so... I appreciate your advice.
Not the current way.
Just peel off.
Yeah.
Just stand over by the pole, not the pole, the column for a minute. Leave your girls in that mean ass little hole.
Or you don't even have to stand there. All you got to do, it's really simple. You get your butt up, break away from the group, and you take the long route to the bathroom. So you have a purpose.
They don't
even
go to the bathroom by themselves.
I'm telling you, in this new modern paradigm, how we got to break off all this other stuff we've been doing, okay? Because women will approach, well, Debrina, what do I do? Get your butt up from the crowd and walk yourself the long way to the bathroom, okay? Take your time, and the dude who has spotted you will find a way to intersect with your butt before you either go in or most likely once you come out and before you get back to your table. Don't walk back the same long route. Walk another long route back to your table and walk slow. Go up and order your drink instead of with the group and it come to the table. Not the first round. Let the person come to the table. But that second one, if you have it, get your butt up and go to the bar. Some basic stuff. It's not rocket science. And you cannot have bitch resting face. So many women, your face is your billboard and it's saying, F, you don't even come near me.
Like,
And most women are not aware of how their face is looking.
Got all your makeup on, you contoured, you spend all that time to sit there in the club.
And your face and your energy is saying, don't you come near me.
I think men are intimidated by me.
We are. You look like a dragon.
You look mean. Exactly. So that's a whole nother conversation about getting our sweetness back as women. We got.
I mean, we're just trying to teach you and give you a little advice on how to be a great date. Some of you guys are like, how do I even get on the date? And that was the conversation. I was with two girls who were very attractive, beautiful women. Neither one of them know exactly like what to do. One of them sitting at the end, in front of me, literally like, so I'm supposed to just go out and just be floating and hope someone asks me? Yeah. What do you want to do? She was in a girl dance group. The four of them are inseparable. No matter where you got to talk to all four of them. You can't
problem.
Get the one. So I'm like,
problem.
Give yourself a chance. If there is a guy who's interested, you'll never know because you'll be all in this little group. And not only that, you guys have your own group dynamic of, you know, energy.
Hierarchy. And, yep.
Yeah, so your little group leader thinks she should have the first crack at the man. What if the most attractive man in the room may like you? We don't all like the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We might see her as loud, fast talking, or obnoxious, or maybe she has a history with us, or we've seen her, how she moves. It's like, I'm cool on her, but you're dope. We can't even get to you because she's like, what's up? All of anybody that comes through here is me first. I have the first right of refusal.
Right.
Because that's how your dynamic is set up.
Yeah.
Step away. Yeah. At least give a guy a chance. You might go the long way to the bathroom and you just went pee. That's all that happened.
Yeah, go in and apply some lip gloss. You don't have to go and use the restroom. Take the long route to go put some lip gloss on. It's not difficult. I remember I was out with my boyfriend of 23 years, my husband, and he has been well-seasoned. We were at a VIP place, concert thing, where we had a little buffet. He went and brought me my plate. He took my plate when I was finished, brought me a drink, went and got me some bottled water. And I didn't know that there was a group of women watching this whole interaction. And they all got up from the table and came over to me when my husband had gone to get me something else to drink and said, where did you get him? Does he have a brother? Man, you can tell that man adores you. And what's the secret? Now, there's a whole history of what our marriage went through to get to that place of juiciness. And I didn't have time to tell him all that. But I said, ladies, are you sitting in that table over there in the corner under the exit sign? They said, yep. I said, none of you have gotten up from your seat until this moment of coming over to ask me this question. You all look bored as heck. You're not radiant. Your light's off. You look mean. And not a single one of you has broken away from the herd. I said, that is not a formula for meeting a quality man. That's not a formula for meeting a man at all.
I go to the exit door when I'm finna leave.
But they were shocked because they thought I was going to tell them something about how to find a man like I had. Instead of, were you in the car? I said, I'm a woman and I noticed. I knew exactly where you're sitting and I could point without even having to turn around. How did I know? Because the energy field at the, oh my God. I said, so can you just work on that? Because that's square A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always trying to ask about Z and no, you need to start with square A. Your face looks mean. Okay. It's a billboard. Can you put your open sign on? Well, what's that? A smile. How about that? Well, I don't want someone to step to me. I said, okay, if you don't know how to smile and not show teeth, showing teeth is a heightened smile. Keep your lips sealed and smile. That's just courtesy and respect. Okay. I know you have enough maturity to be able to distinguish smile and show your teeth. That's more energy coming out when you show your teeth or smile with your lips.
You got to be honest. When you hear this as a lady with yourself, when you go out, do you look pleasant? Are you smiling? Or are you sitting there listening to music and just, most people are in the club plain faced it. Just no expression. There's no excitement. They're wallflowers looking to see what, you know.
Yeah.
There's no just standing there. There's no just general feeling of joy.
Yeah.
When you assess yourself, are you that person? Are you the happy, smiling, receptive person? Or are you the wallflower that's kind of on the outside of the situation?
Well, let me tell you, when I was in Denver, there's a course for men that I teach called Mentality. And the men in Denver, the brothers in Denver, big group.
How you do that? Mentality.
Mentality. Woo, hyphenated. So the men there did the 101 course with me, loved it, had me come back and do the 201 course, the advanced course. All I have is two courses. They were so excited, the insights I was sharing, the stuff I was breaking down about male love lies, and some insights I was giving them about women. They said, well, Debrina, we just want to take you out to dinner. You don't have any more courses. We want to take you out to dinner. We got questions. After dinner, the restaurants closed down. They vacuum in. They said, well,
we
want...
Reuters was asking you.
Yeah.
I'm just vacuuming.
I heard you mention. And so they said, we don't want to have this conversation. And I said, y'all, listen, it's 10:30. This restaurant's closing. And I looked at them. I said, let's go on a field trip. A field trip. I said, let's go to the most popular club in Denver. And in unison, they all said the same club name.
They're like, Dingo.
Yeah. And so I was, I was stealing what I had off the airplane. So I was not my little club attire. And they said, don't worry about it. We got your drinks. You're Mr. Miyagi tonight for us.
Hilarious.
You know, wax on, wax off. I said, okay, brothers. So we went in there, and it was a field trip because I said, let me point out the women who, if you only go by your eyeballs and the optics, who you would normally think, oh, she's fine. But I'm going to break it down now and talk about her energy and her attitude that's coming through the visual.
You can see through that, and a man can't. Not up top.
You haven't been trained to.
Right.
But if you chill out, you can.
We're like, what's that ass, though?
But what I said to them, here was the assignment. Is I said, and we got there before 11, right?
So, okay, so you got to watch everyone come in.
We got to watch on purpose. Plus, the velvet rope line, you know, with the big bouncer hadn't yet gone around the block yet. So I said, here's what I said. I said, we're going upstairs, fellas. It was a two-level place. I said, here's what I'm going to do because I love to dance. I need to get my little dance on. So I'm going to give you about 20 minutes, and I want you to circulate this place. I want you to go up and down. There's at least 350 women in here. And I'm not going to have you just stop at your eyeballs, which is what you've been conditioned to do. Look at dimensions and proportions, and within 3 seconds, size up whether or not to you she's fine. I said, we got that. You got that down. That's not where y'all suck. You don't know how to recognize a joyful woman with a positive attitude. That's the problem. I said, so I want you to circulate this place, and I'm going to circulate it first. And based on what I consider a good woman in terms of her energy, her heart energy, does she seem joyful and pleased with herself and have high body esteem? I'm gonna come back and tell you how many women I found.
High body esteem.
Y'all don't know anything about that, and it's a problem for men. And so I said, I'm gonna go and count up how many women fit that criteria. I'm gonna come back and give you a count. 350 women. I circled the place, came back about 5 minutes. They're all wait, can't wait for the assignment. What the heck is this woman gonna have us do? I said, men, I got bad news. They're like, what? I said, I only found one.
And it's me.
So okay,
carry me
on your shoulders. No, okay. So I said, I only found one other one. Right. Okay. I said, woo, one other one. I said, you got 20 minutes. And I'm going to see if you can find her.
How many men was there?
Seven.
Seven men, 20 minutes.
350 women.
Did they find her?
Here's the deal. Okay. Check this out.
They all found her.
20 minutes later. They all came back, and I asked them, did you find her? Did you? Every single one of them found her. And she was even in a private roped off section with the birthday party. And then I said, and they were tripping, could not believe it. I said, so you have the ability to recognize some things, but your social conditioning has you disregard it. And I said, so what was it that you noticed? And they talked about how she was laughing a lot, how she was smiling, how the clothes she had on were flattering, but they weren't billboard my body. You know, I mean, they just broke her. She had this short haircut, and only women that are confident, so they thought, can wear short hair, and that she wasn't her hiding behind all this hair. It was like, I mean, they just had to, I mean, they were able to articulate. I said, now here's the thing. 350 women, and there's one that I found that's the most well-rounded holistically in this whole group. And you all saw her, and she doesn't know you exist. She's over there behind that rope in that private party. What you gonna do? You gotta learn how to close the gap. They're like, what? What, Mr. Miyagi? What are you doing? I said, she's over there, doesn't know you exist. There's only one. She's the gift. She's the gold up in here. But here you all over here talking to me. I said, what do you do?
So you sent seven dudes and sicked them on her?
Nope, not sicked them on her. What I said, first of all, is how do you close the gap? She's over there. You're here. There's a gap. But
send
there's
the drink.
Nope.
Wait, yeah, he sent several drinks. Then she got to pee.
Now you catch her by the bathroom.
You ready to hear what I told him?
Go ahead.
And what really works, you have to be out of an $8 drink. That's what most men would have done.
Right, right.
And I said, first of all, what is something you can give her an authentic compliment about because you've paid attention?
Right.
Now, they all said her hair.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, all seven.
It was all seven. All seven. I said, great. So here's what you do. You got to make your way over that little velvet rope separating the club from the party.
Was there a person manning the rope?
No, it wasn't that deep.
Oh, okay. So all you got to do is get on the rope.
Or just get near it. Right. And so I said, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to go over and you got to get her attention. Which isn't hard. You can wave or right. And I said, she's, and then you know, wiggle your finger, whatever. She's going to come over looking curious, like, huh? I said, then there's the non-sexual touching zone between her wrist and her elbow. Lightly touch that place when you give her the compliment. And say, I just had to let you know that hairstyle, you are rocking it, or whatever your language is. And then she smiles.
I'll be like, bitch, you on fleek.
And then, don't say bitch, you just lost her. This is the balance chick. You can't talk.
I'm clowning.
You can't joke this way. We're doing so much of the stuff that doesn't work. You can't joke with folks.
Yeah, there's some dude on here like, that's what I'm just saying.
Yeah. That Nathaniel said, no.
Nate.
Nate said. Anyway, so. And I said, she's going to smile.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn and move away 20 feet.
Okay.
Do not hover. Do not stand there salivating. And look at the dance floor.
Don't stand there staring at it.
Right. So you give some space. And guess what? When her song comes on, she's going to look around. Because it's all girls at the party. You didn't even have a brother up there to dance with. She's going to look around and see you not too far away, but not too close like a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to step over that rope. And tap, and this has got when her song comes on, though. Mm-hmm. Tap you. Would you like to dance? And
then, maybe. She might just dance real close to you.
Not this woman.
Okay.
Not the one out of 350. Okay. She wants to dance first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And then the six will look up and say, now, how did he get to be the one? And next thing we know, you talk about how you and so-and-so went out in the date.
Seven men this.
Yes, and they got
so she
scared.
Went over there.
No, let me tell you what happened.
This forearm was bleeding. You said seven men over the top on the same spot.
No, let me tell you what happened.
Okay.
They all froze on me.
What?
They said, oh, what? And I said, I need someone to now continue to be coachable. But this was the first they were hearing this kind of stuff. They normally send a drink and that kind of safe stuff. So this was new. So in the moment, that's what's so great about coaching in a field trip.
Listen,
this is what's so powerful about a field trip. Huh. You get to put the stuff into practice real time, not talk about it, not conceptualize it, not describe what you do.
Right.
If here we are. So they all said to me, dang, and they all looked around each other. And I said, because a coach has to be willing to do whatever they're asking their student to do. I said, it will work.
Okay.
That's just my policy.
Right.
Okay. And I said, let me model it for you. Because it doesn't matter that I'm a woman. I just want you to see how she's going to respond given who she is, given what her energy field is saying, her disposition.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put yourself in the place. So
we're not to the point where, like, sexual preference matters. This is just attention
to gathering. Show how to close the gap. That's
right.
The phrase I use. Close the gap.
Mm-hmm.
With
she's like, well, I got it. Y'all bullshit.
So I make my way through the crowd, over to the rope, and the friend next to the one
mm-hmm.
is the one whose attention, because I'd kind of wave my hand a little bit, and she's like, huh? I said, tap her. Her? Yeah, right. yeah. And then she looks at me, and I went, like, you know, come over here a second. So a lot of women, you can tell right away their facial expression. So instead of her having her face all screwed up, like, what is this one more? She smiled, like, oh, me? I'm like, yeah, you.
Right.
She comes over. I put my hand very lightly between the wrist and
the
elbow.
She's standing there, and you just walk up and place your hand under it. Soft meat or the arm hair part?
No. On the top.
Okay,
that top forearm between the elbow and the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, girl, I just got to tell you, you are wearing that short hair. And she busted out in a big old smile.
Mm-hmm.
I looked over at all the dudes. And then I moved away.
Yeah.
And I went back over.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you see how that can work? They're like, dang. I said, we're not done. We're going on downstairs because now we got a line of folk. We're going to watch people once they pay and come in
mm-hmm.
and go upstairs, and we're going to do some more analysis. And so at any rate, I just point that out to illuminate how men do read more than just dimensions.
We do. And a lot of times a man will see that woman glowing. He's like, well, I'm not glowing enough to approach her.
Well, you all have your own internal stuff. But the point I was trying to make is you know how to recognize her if you just slow down and you have to focus in on certain things. All y'all with your different backgrounds, all y'all found the one. There's only one out of 350. That's not good odds. And then, but just to recognize her is not enough. You got to close the gap. You want to meet her, not just look at her from afar.
Right, and then be hoping you see her again the next time you go.
Exactly.
Back to that club 10 yeah. times, like, fuck, she's right. not here.
She's not, it's, exactly.
And so all she was visiting from out of town.
There you go, but you could stay connected, you know. Plane flight, not a problem. So at any rate, I just modeled for them how she responded, which is just like I told them they did. She would. If I was a guy, I would have moved away by 20 feet, stood there cool, calm, looking at the dance with my little drink. And when her son came on, or as she was leaving, or went to the restroom, or whatever, because the smart woman who's balanced and has high esteem, she has no problem breaking away from the crowd and going on to the, she would have found a way to break away from the little birthday party on the way back, say something, maybe dance, then go back to her group. You guys have exchanged numbers or a way to stay connected. It doesn't have to be that complicated. And so you could have been the one, whoever the one was that went over and closed the gap, that had the quote unquote good woman who also was beautiful mm-hmm. and also had an open heart and wasn't bitter, smiled readily, knows how to love you, knows how to share her radiance and sweetness with you. And all the men be like, how did you get her? So that was a beautiful experiment. And then I said, it was like 12:30. I said, listen, y'all, I got to get up at 7 and be with the women for 8 hours. I got to go. They were so tripping, like, oh my God, do you know how much money we have spent? Do you know how much heartache and heartbreak and confusion we have experienced? Because no one ever broke this down to us. These were grown-ass men. These were not, you know, 23-year-old dudes, right. Okay? These are men that had businesses and graduate degrees, and they were just, they were like literally slapping themselves in the head. They could not believe that in this one night what they had learned and how much it would have saved them if they had had this kind of hands-on, on-the-ground training. But this was a woman doing it. And so, any rate, I mean, I don't have time to go in that store anymore because there was a whole part two downstairs at the club. Oh, those my applause. Yeah, oh, thank you.
We'll put part two.
Next time, we'll talk about the lower level teachings at the club.
The lower level
LLTs.
Teachings from the club.
It was a whoo, that was a whole nother.
Well, this has been great. It's been juicy. And we will wrap this episode because I have to go headline at Jazz Bones Comedy Club in downtown Tacoma, Washington on 6th Avenue. So, Jabrina, please tell them where they can catch you, find you, follow up with you. Don't
yes.
be the girl in the club. Give them, touch their forearms for me.
Did you buy thelovelies.com, ladies? That's where you can go to get my book, The Love Lies. It's all about a completely new paradigm. An aspect of the book talks about modern courtship, but it talks about a whole bunch of mind-opening and mind-blowing good stuff that you will not find in any other book. You can go through the website to get the book, or you can go into your favorite bookstore, The Love Lies. It's a national book. It's not just online. It's really at bookstores, too.
Yeah, and so, another thing that we talked about, all we did was scrape the surface here of issues that I think are common. The book addresses 10
female love lies.
These are things that you've been preconditioned and don't even realize it subconsciously,
right. Oof, yeah.
Things that you are doing, you're operating this way, and it's not good.
Not good.
It's not good. Furthermore, you're holding on to these wrong ways so tight that can't nobody tell you nothing.
That's right.
Can't nobody tell you nothing. We'll just get you something like
in
this
misery
in the private of your own home. You can be honest and admit that you might not be doing something right.
Exactly.
So that's where you can find her at. Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter at the D, like D for Dabrina, the D Vine. I'm on Facebook, Dabrina Jackson Gandy. Mm-hmm. And of course, my website. That's enough. I only need to be found in those few places.
Good, good. Okay, so as far as following me, go to natejacksoncomedy.com or follow me again. It's at Mr. Nate Jackson, MrNateJackson.
Lord.
On every social media
platform.
Take your phone and type in at Mr. Nate Jackson and it'll pull up everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, Vine. I went viral yesterday on Instagram, but it's only for those with a strong stomach. It's literally the nastiest skit I've ever done, but it was because I had two girls that were supposed to come and be actresses and they both weren't able to make it. So I was standing there trying to figure out something we could do with about 5 dudes and I did it. It involves boo-boo. But it did go viral, so maybe I walked the line between nasty and funny
perfectly and came up with something hilarious. But check it out. It's on Instagram. It's also on my Facebook fan page with Nate Jackson and at Mr. Nate Jackson. Thank you again for listening. And like I told you guys, at the halfway point, you can find past episodes of this show on iTunes or anywhere else you get your podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
We'll go out on a song. T.Y. Dolla $ign featuring Joe Moses. Wavy. Peace.
When I wake up in the morning, I roll up and count my money. I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy. All my bitches love me, they gon' answer for a real one. I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy. So wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy. All these bitches wanna have my baby. I'm so handsome, I'm so ballin'. Must be why all my exes callin'. I'm so wavy in that turbo Porsche. She's so wavy in that new Mercedes. Independent chick, yeah, that my type of lady. She ain't never asked, but I did it for my baby.
Wavy like Beyonce on the surfboard. I'm getting money, but she worth more. She can get it when she want it.
Up in the morning, I roll up and count my money. I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy. All my bitches love me, they gon' answer for a real one. I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy, I'm so wavy.
Too many niggas wanna be him. I'm so wavy in these real Tims. Really arm, neck, wrist, chest. Baby mama friend, she next. Daryl 1-800 when you need me. On my ABC, you'll never be a G. Check my range, I'm Steffin when you need a 3. I give her stroke for days and when she need D. Sure they wanna ride with a surf guy. Lil nigga got more than her ex guy.
Lil purse cost more than your next guy.
Tell your friends don't play cause it's sex. I sue up the motherfucking man where I come from. A lot of pussy then ran when I come for it. Dab hoes, I be can where I come for them. If you ever in a gym and you looking for a band, I drum it.
I wake up in the morning, I roll up and count my money.